a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone. Senate Education will be called to order. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Curd.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
Welke.
Here.
Maher.
Here.
Soholt.
Here. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Senate Education. And I want to welcome everyone that is listening in on the internet today. I would ask you to take a look at your cell phones and make sure that they are on silence as a courtesy to everyone. If there are individuals in the audience that would like to testify, be sure that you sign up in order to do so. We do have a quorum, and the minutes have been before the senators prior to the meeting, and I would entertain a motion for approval.
Second.
Moved by Senator Curd and second by Senator Jones. Approval of the minutes of our past meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. All right. We have a couple of pages in the room, and I would like you to come forward and introduce yourself and tell us where you're from. And if you have plans for the future, I know you've been asked that a lot. We're in week two, right?
Hi, I'm Jason Samuelson from Rapid City, and I'm going to Bowling Green State University and majoring in sports management.
I'm Jake Schoenbeck from Watertown, South Dakota. I'm going to the U of M, University of Minnesota, and I'm going to major in business finance at the Carlson School of Business.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate everything that you do to help us out. And they're veterans now because they're in their second week, and so they've got it all under control. And I think they're very, very brave to come before Senate Education Committee and talk about leaving the state of South Dakota for their college. So we'll see what kind of future penalties come because of that. All right, let's go to work. I want to talk a little bit about the agenda and how we're going to handle it. At the request of some of the prime sponsors, we're going to begin. Just want to talk first about Senate Bill 131, which is actually going to be deferred at the request of the prime sponsor until next week, Thursday. It has come to light that there will probably be significant amendments that are going to transpire within that bill. And so we want to make sure that there is plenty of time to come to adequate compromise and proper languaging. So that's going to be taken up next Thursday. Now, that said, we're very concerned about anyone that may have come. This came to light yesterday. And so we did make an attempt to try to get the word out, you know, amongst circles to people that may want to testify on SB 131. So today, if there are out-of-town people that would like to testify, understanding that this may be amended in relationship to their testimony, we would still take that thought and feeling into account if people could not make it back next week. So I guess I'd like to see a show of hands if there is anyone that would like to testify on 131, because we very much want to hear what you have to say. All right, we have two people from out of town. All right, so we will take that up in a moment. I just want to go through how the agenda is going to go, and we apologize for that and that you didn't know ahead of time. That's not how we like to do business. But it is what happens at times in the legislature in order to improve the process. So thank you for your understanding of that. So what we will do today is we are going to begin with HB 1029. Then we will move on to testimony of SB 131, knowing that it's deferred to next week, Thursday. Then SB 97. And at the end, we will take up SB 112 and SB 101. As we are waiting for the prime to come to the Capitol. There's just been some unexpected delays in that. So let's go to work. We'll begin with proponent testimony on House Bill 1029.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Tammy Darnell with the Department of Education. And I come here asking you to support House Bill 1029. House Bill 1029 is relationship to the Hagen-Harvey Scholarship. I don't know if you folks are familiar with that scholarship, but back in 1999, Minerva Harvey passed away, and she left the state a significant amount of money to administer a scholarship program, about $853,000. The criteria for this was that it was to be made to Native American youth. So in order to be eligible for the scholarship, a student has to attend and have graduated from a South Dakota accredited high school, completed or on their way to complete the high school curriculum set forth in rule, the graduation requirements, provide evidence to the board that the student has been accepted to attend a public or non-public accredited university, college, or technical institute in South Dakota, and then also be an enrolled member of the of an American Indian tribe. So we do administer that scholarship, and right now, by statute, it's limited to 7 scholarships that we can hand out each year. We're looking right now at having, I don't want to say extra money, but the fund's been building up. Right now, we have about $898,000 in the fund. So the board, the scholarship board, has requested that we could perhaps get rid of that cap on the scholarship and actually be allowed to administer scholarships based on the funds that we have available each year, to look out on that. And so the first part of this bill is we're requesting that that cap, that maximum 7 scholarships, be removed, and that the board be given the ability to administer the number of scholarships based on the funds available, as long as we do not ever dig into that initial amount, that $853,000. Secondly, after a student receives the scholarship, just like with any scholarship, there are criteria that are needed to maintain eligibility. Under this scholarship, the student must maintain a cumulative 2.5 grade point average on a 4.0 scale, be continuously enrolled for the fall and spring semesters in a public or non-public accredited university, college, or technical institute, complete an equivalent of at least 14 credit hours of instruction, and then enroll in a public or non-public accredited university no later than the fall semester after the scholarship's been awarded. What we're asking on this part is that the 14 credit hours be changed to 12 credit hours. And I know this causes some concern, but the reason we're asking that is that this is a population of students that we're working very, very hard to get them to college. And what happens is we see that sometimes when they get to college, they get there and they're faced with the 14 credit hours, and it's really too much for them, and they end up dropping out because of that. In addition, that 14 or the 12 credit hours is considered to be a full-time student, and there's also the full-time amount for federal financial aid. So the other piece is the board is just wants to be consistent with that. With the chair's indulgence, I would like to also read a letter from Junior Betty Loon. He is the chairman of the scholarship committee. Good morning. The recommended change was discussed and well thought out by the Hagan Harvey Scholarship Board before making the recommendation. Many of our students are first-generation college students who may struggle initially finding their comfort zone at the university level. Universities consider a student full-time student if they are taking 12 semester credits. Our issue is, why not recognize and honor what the university system accepts as a full load for university students, giving our students an opportunity to get off to a good start at the college level? Also, some of our students are enrolled in high academic schools and majors, such as engineering at the School of Mines and Technology, the South Dakota State University, the University of South Dakota, as well as some of our other colleges and universities within the state. With the academic requirements of many of the majors the students are pursuing, they find that more time needs to be devoted to some of the courses they are taking in order to do well academically. We have had some students who are doing well in these programs, but will turn the scholarship back after carrying 14 or more hours in a given semester and recognizing the time commitment needed for each student to be successful. If a study is done at all of the colleges and universities in South Dakota, the legislators will find that it is not uncommon for a student to take 4.5 or 5 years to complete their program of study and earn a Bachelor of Science degree. I taught at Black Hills State University for 29 years and found the situation to be a common occurrence for many students. With work schedules, extracurricular activities, family commitments, as well as other issues that students face, the 4-year commitment to earn a degree is unrealistic for many. I urge the legislative committee, as well as the full legislature, to vote in favor of House Bill 1032. Junior Betty Loon, chairman of the Hagan Harvey Scholarship Committee. With that, I hope that you'll support House Bill 1029. And I see he put 1032. It should say 1029. Sorry. Hope that you'll support House Bill 1029. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there further proponent testimony to House Bill 1029, proponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1029? Seeing no opponent testimony, I will open it up to questions from the committee. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Tammy Darnell.
Yes. Proceed, Senator.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. How many scholarships are given out each year, approximately? Is this a brand new scholarship?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
No, this scholarship, we've actually been awarding it since 2003-2004 school year. I can go through, in the first year we awarded seven, the initial seven. The second year, 13 were awarded. So as you can see, one of the students did not continue on from the first year. Then there were 18 in 2005-2006, 18 in 2006-2007, 20 in 2007-2008, 16 in 08-09, 18 in 9-10, 18 in 10-11, 20 in 11-12, 22 in 12-13, and 21 in 13-14.
Excellent. Follow-up?
Yes, Senator.
Are these scholarships available to private or homeschool students as well?
Mr. Chair?
Proceed.
No, as I talked about in my opening comments, you have to attend or have graduated from a South Dakota high school, accredited high school. So yes, it would be private, but homeschools are not accredited.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee? I guess any other questions? The question I would have is, and this is where my angst comes in with this bill. But last week we sat here and listened to the Board of Regents for a few hours talking about 15 to finish. And now we're reducing this even more. And they talked about how if they don't finish in 4 years, the dropout rate increases exponentially anyway. So what's the end game here, I guess, is the question. What are we going to do in that fifth and sixth year? Is this scholarship only for 4 years?
Okay. I guess, Mr. Chair, is it okay for me to answer your question? Yes, the scholarship is only for 4 years. It's of $1,000 in the first 2 years, $1,500 in the third year, and $2,500 in the fourth year. I understand your concern, and I guess really what we're trying to do is get those children in there, and when the students in there, and hopefully they should know when they enter college that how many credits it does take to graduate in the 4 years. And if they would have to extend it by dropping lower in credits so that they can do better academically, hopefully they recognize that and they're working towards for that fifth and sixth year if they have to take them, other mechanisms to support them. Hopefully they're eligible for some Pell Grants. Maybe once they get through those first years and get used to that college environment, they're actually able to have a job to do that. But, you know, our hope is to get them into college because, as was stated in Mr. Bailoon's letter, a lot of these are first-year students who don't have any experience. They don't even have the supports at home to help them out with getting into college. So we want to get them there, let them know what it feels like to succeed, and then hopefully they will finish it out.
I guess I'm the chair. I can follow up. So then do they get if they take more than 12 credit hours, does the scholarship account for that? And how does that work? I mean, it's a full ride, essentially, and they can take how many credit hours they want per semester. So let's say they're in their junior year and they want to take 18 credit hours. How does that work then?
Okay, Mr. Chair, the scholarship is a set amount per year as long as they maintain that minimum level. So if they take more, they don't get more
All right.
Money.
Thank you. I have no further questions. Does anyone else have questions? Seeing none, I guess we will close this to committee action and or discussion. I have a do pass motion from Senator Jensen, second from Senator Rampelberg. Any speaking to that motion, Senator?
I appreciate the scholarship. Good scholarship. He's doing what he's intended to do.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the do pass motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay, and I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Kurd.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
Maher.
No.
Sohol.
Senate Bill 10, House Bill 1029, I apologize, moves to the floor on due pass. And let's see, who would like to take that down to the floor? Senator Jones, thank you. All right. At this time, we are going to move on to testimony on Senate Bill 131 from folks that are out of town that would like to provide perspective on that. And again, we apologize that that's going to be deferred for action until next week, Thursday. So we will take the comments into account, the comments that are relative to what will be the amended SB 131. So at this time, we will begin with proponent testimony of anyone that would like to speak on SB 131. Proponent testimony. Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony.
My name is Michael Boyle, and I'm from Parkston, South Dakota. I just recently moved back into the state in last August, and I appreciate the opportunity to give my comments here, as I won't be able to make it next week when it's rescheduled to be here. My concern with this bill is basically twofold. One is it's putting an undue burden on the parent who would be affected by this bill. In our Constitution, we have the idea that you're guilty or you're innocent until proven guilty. And this bill then creates that a complaint would put the burden of stress on the parent and therefore makes them guilty until proven innocent. So I think that's a great concern that I have. And the other thing is who can provide a complaint? Anybody can provide a complaint. And so if you have a situation in a community where, let's say a teacher, who's very well respected in the community, and most teachers are. I know I always respected the teachers that I had. If they are a particular person that doesn't like homeschooling or doesn't like the activities that the parents are doing with their child, they can place a complaint. And because of their situation, that school board is much more favorable towards that person than the other individual whom they may or may not know. Maybe they're new to the community, that sort of thing. So it really creates a unique situation where that parent then has to go before a board that is not necessarily unbiased and try to prove something that should be the other person's burden of proof. So that's my great concern. And the other concern I have is just kind of more of a principled concern in that, the parent is responsible for the child and the school is there to provide a great service of education. But it is ultimately the parent's responsibility to raise the child, and they should have the tools that they need to be able to do that. And if, taking their kid out of school for a period of time or, placing them in a different type of environment, that is an important tool that parents need to have to be able to do what's best for their children. So I appreciate you hearing my testimony and giving light to that and effect to the changes that'll take place.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to have you hold up for just a minute. Do the senators have any questions or? Okay, again, thank you so much for coming and traveling to be here.
Thank you.
Further testimony.
Yes, my name is Mike Boyle, and thank you for having the opportunity to speak while I'm here in town. And I just wanted to say that having the opportunity of homeschooling our children in some of the years of their education, recognizing that it's a responsibility on the parent. And I also understand that it seems as if it's, you might say how the bill stated now is quite, how would you say, we're always defending ourselves in the sense of our constitutional rights. And as Michael said, that it seems to be a hardship more so on the parent and versus having to prove that this is happening. I say what Michael said is very dear to my heart as well. And I just think that as we progress along, it seems as if our freedoms, it seems as if our state is becoming more and more, stricter on just about everything that we do in life. And to highway, to everything you turn you turn around, it seems like there's more regulation, there's more control, there's more of this kind of thing, so that it's not just happening in one spot, but it's happening in many, many spots in our country. And for myself, it's a great concern. And I'm concerned that we, you know, the idea of protection, I understand that, but the parents are also protecting and wanting the best for their children as well. And just for someone to say, well, I don't like the way that is happening there, let's pull them, you know, let's not let them do that. I think it's wrong. And so I just would really challenge you to think it through. And in even for your other committees that you serve on, really take a good look at what's being done in our country, what's being done in our state. And that's a very fearful thing for me, is that we're becoming more controlling and we are losing our freedom. And it's not good. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you so very much for coming and testifying. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any further testimony on Senate Bill 131? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Monica Tanner from Rapid City, and I'm with South Dakota Christian Home Educators. Good morning, Ms. Chairman and members of the committee. Briefly, I just want to say that we are opposed to this as it's written. And my question is about enforcement of the truancy laws we already have on the books, to look at those. I'm not sure if the schools each have different truancy policies when they institute truancy or not. Just as a personal example, my 17-year-old son, Junior, takes one class at Central High School just for fun. It's weightlifting. I already have a truancy letter because he's missed 2 days, and it's a block schedule, and we get the schedule mixed up. So some days we forget to go. And so he has two unexcused absences. So we already have a truancy letter. It's really easy to get a truancy letter and then not allow the family time to work through the problems. So in some, I don't know if it's the same in every school district. So we should look at maybe enforcement of laws that we already have, because a lot of these families just have problems that maybe should be solved by some other manner. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming to Pierre to testify. Further testimony on Senate Bill 131. Again, we apologize for the timing of that bill and really appreciate the fact that you would testify today. And we will certainly take your comments into account in that you are not able to come back to peer. Thank you so much for being here today and for your political activism and caring enough about your state to come and share your opinions. All right. We will now move on to Senate Bill 97. This is at a prior hearing. It's to revoke professional or trade licensure obtained through fraudulent degrees. We would ask the prime sponsor to come back. Welcome, Senator Nostrup.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Committee. Thank you for the invitation to visit this committee for the second time this week. State Senator Al Nostrup, Aberdeen District 3. What we're doing is a cleanup bill to a concept that was passed in 2008, which is to attempt to make real degrees more valuable and make false degrees less valuable. And so it was an amendment was suggested, and I'm here today with that amendment, where we specify that that we can look at the World Education Services or some other entities that are relied upon by the South Dakota Licensing Board or the South Dakota Public Post-Secondary Institutions. So with that, I stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. I think what we'll do at this time is, would you like us to take up your amendment?
That would be wonderful if you would,
time.
Please.
All right. Thank you. Senator Curd moves Amendment 97-SB and a second by Senator Jensen. Discussion on that amendment?
Thank you, Chairman. I think The amendment we have in front of us clears up some of the muddy waters we discussed a couple of days ago, and I commend Senator Nostrup for working diligently to come up with a resolution, and I support the bill with the amendment attached, and I would suggest that we all vote in favor of it.
Further discussion on that amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Amendment 97SB is approved. We are now moving to the amended Senate Bill 97. Is there any further proponent testimony at this time? Any further opponent testimony? We will close it to public dialogue on Senate Bill 97 as amended, and I would turn to the senators for further action or discussion on this bill.
Moved and passed the Bill 97SP as amended.
It has been moved, Senate Bill 97 as amended by Senator Jensen and seconded by Senator Rappelberg. Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Secretary will please call the roll. All in favor?
You also had placed amendments on there at the previous meeting. Those amendments are still on the bill. They were voted. So it's carrying
two amendments
from the previous session and this amendment.
Thank you very much. Is that clear to the senators what we are voting on? So it would be amended with 97SB, and do we have the number on the previous amendment?
I'm looking for it.
We'll go to the minutes.
Madam Chair, there wasn't a number on the First Amendment.
That's correct.
Without number.
That's correct. It was without number. And let me find that in the minutes so we are...
Was essentially taking fraudulent...
That was the work that we did on fraudulent to false. All right, so that amendment without a number, so SB 97 as amended on our meeting on 2-4 and also 97SB. Is everyone clear on what we're voting on? Secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
Senators Curd.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye. It is due pass on Senate Bill 97 as twice amended. To the Senate floor. And now we need to think about a title amendment because of the issue of fraudulent to false.
That was done.
Oh, we did that already? Okay. Oh,
no,
we did not.
Have to do that.
No.
Yeah,
yes.
I think we have to. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we have not done that. And so on Senate Bill 97, we're just waking up here today, folks. So just hang on. So Senate Bill 97, I would entertain a motion
Madam Chair,
for a title amendment.
I would move that Senate Bill 97's title on line 2 be amended to remove the word fraudulent and insert the word false.
It has been moved by Senator Maher and seconded by Senator Curd for a title amendment to change the word fraudulent to false on line 2. Is there further discussion on that title amendment? Seeing none. Secretary would call the roll. All in favor say...
It can be a voice
vote. All right. Well, we'll have a voice vote today. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The title amendment carries. Thank you. All right. And now we are moving on to Senate Bill 112 and potentially 101 with prime sponsor Senator Monroe, proponent testimony. Would you just like us to take action, Senator?
That would be fine.
All right. It has been requested by the prime sponsor, Senator Monroe, that we would table SB 112 and SB 101.
Madam Chair, this time I'd like to move Senate Bill 112 be laid on the table.
It has been moved by Senator Maher and seconded by Senator Welke that we would move SB 112 as a tabled bill. Discussion on the motion?
Tabling motion.
Is there a discussion on the tabling motion?
I'm sorry. Thank you. However.
You just have to call the roll.
We need a roll call vote.
Yes.
Yes. Secretary, please call the roll. All in favor of that tabling motion, vote aye. Opposed, no.
Senators Curd.
Aye.
Jensen.
No.
Jones.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye. And now, at the request of the prime sponsor, I would entertain a tabling motion on SB 101.
Madam Chair.
Senator Maher.
This time, I'd like to move Senate Bill 101 be tabled.
Second.
It has been moved by Senator Maher and seconded by Senator Jones that we table SB 101. We will have no discussion on that motion. Secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Senate Bill 101 has been tabled. Is there further business to bring before Senate Education today? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second? Did you have a second? Motion by Senator Jones, seconded by Senator Welke. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, aye. No. Senate Ed is adjourned.
Bang, bang, boom.